Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our it was a panel discussion for an hour and a half. And now it's you, so I apologize. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. And our good buddy Sean Stone is here. We're going to find out what's happening on area stages and screens. Carl Blackwood, who would normally be with us, is off today. So we have Sean with us for a little bit longer, which is cool because we have a lot to talk about. And good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. And I think now it's you. Is going to be my favorite introduction ever.
And now it's you. Yeah, I didn't mean that to sort of be a Newman moment, but more upset with myself that I can't remember that we're in a new segment of the program. Well, here we go. You saw Tully, which is much written about film.
Yes, it's the third collaboration between writer Diablo Cody and director Jason Reitman. They did Young Adult and they did Juno. And in it, Charlize Theron is a wife and mother. She's literally like 3 days away from having her third child. You get to meet her first two children, one of whom is he's special needs. No one can diagnose what's wrong with him, but he's on the spectrum somewhere. And a good director when you just cast the actor and it does half the work. Well, her husband is played by Ron Livingston, who was the lead in Office Space. So you know that he's kind of just there.
Yeah.
He's not really contributing what he should to the relationship. And then she has the kid. And what's funny is that it's, you know, the miracle of childbirth and all that. And it's basically plays like a horror movie for about 20 minutes. And then she has a rich brother who says he will pay for a night nanny, a young woman who will come in and take care of the baby at night so mom can get some sleep and get her life back together. And she doesn't want to do it at first, but she gives in and she calls this number, and the night nanny named Tully shows up and everything starts to get better. Her whole life improves. She gets sleep. You know, she can deal with her husband and his video game addiction a little better. It's easier to deal with the two kids she already has. It's more like she's becoming herself again. And then the movie takes a turn, which is really interesting.
No.
And I loved it. I thought it was terrific. It's very funny. Cody writes great, like social commentary jokes, you know, like they go to dinner right before she gives birth. They go to dinner at her rich brother's, and of course the kids are shunted off with their nanny, and you know the boy who's the special needs kid, you know, he will only eat chicken nuggets, and the nanny just looks at him and says, "Do you know what they do to chickens at factory farms?" And his sister says, "But he only eats chicken nuggets. We don't have chicken nuggets here." So the kid just stares at the food, and you realize he's not going to eat anything that night.
So the name of the film is Tully, and it's out, and that sounds very good.
It is very good.
All right. What else do we have on the list here? Things happening on stages tomorrow night in Utica.
At the Stanley, America. Oh. They're going to ride in on their horse with no name into Utica. And what was interesting is, That you know how hard it is. If your band name's America and you've been around for 40 years, how do you get a website? You know, what are you going to call your website? America dot something?
Yes.
No, VenturaHighway.com.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Smart thinking.
Yeah, so that's America tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Stanley in Utica. Tomorrow night at Proctor's in Schenectady, a delightful evening of comedy. Colin Mockrey and Brad Sherwood, Scared Scriptless.
Cute.
Yep. Which is, you really get your money's worth. I mean, they promise like 2 hours and 20-minute show with an intermission.
They do mostly improv. Both Brad and Colin are known for Whose Line Is It Anyway? They are veteran improv performers, and they do a lot of stuff with the audience. I don't know if they're going to do it this time, but usually one of the things that they end the show with is the mousetrap game. Have you ever seen them do this?
No.
They do. They take loaded mousetraps. So they spring them. You know, they put them out so they're set. And they put them all over the stage. They have stagehands go. And there's like 200 of them. and then they blindfold them, and then they have them do like a traditional improv game as they're standing and getting struck by the various. And you in the audience are like, oh my God, he's going to go back. And then, and it's painful and yet hilarious. And you think to yourself, wow, this is really awful. And then usually at the end of the show, they will just stay there and sign mousetraps for you.
Wow.
It's a very entertaining evening. I know probably that may not sound entertaining, but it is very entertaining.
It does sound entertaining.
And I hate to have favorites, but Colin Mochrie is one of my favorite improv performers.
Yeah.
He and Ryan Stiles, who work together, but Ryan Stiles, who was on the Drew Carey Show and also Whose Line, refuses to take an airplane. So Brad Sherwood now takes on and goes off with him and does these shows.
And apparently Colin doesn't want to ride the Greyhound circuit.
Exactly. So they go, ever the Canadian, off they go. So it's a great, you're right. It's a very enjoyable evening of comedy.
Yes. Also Friday at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, it's Morgan Eve Swain's group, The Huntress and Holder of Hands, singer-songwriter, sort of wrenching indie music. Saturday evening at 6 p.m. At the Mahewi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, Close Encounters with Music is going to present Acronym Baroque, The Faux and the Fabulous. Now, this is a program of music. It's all very good music. But it's written by composers who pretended to be more famous than they were. Like they wrote pieces and tried to pass them off as you know, like a Bach or something, but they're not. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like 200 years from now, somebody playing Beatles knockoffs, but they're really good Beatles knockoffs.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot going on there. Acronym Baroque.
Yeah.
The Faux and the
ensemble.
Fabulous.
Yes.
All right.
Then Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Steamerton Theater in Albany, the Pine Hills Film Colony, who moved to Steamerton because the Madison Theater closed and now it's being turned into a dinner theater or something. That'll be interesting to see how that
Cosmo,
turns out.
Cosmic, whatever. They just put the sign up on the marquee.
Really?
Like a day ago. There's now a URL up there now.
Oh, golly.
Because I went by Monday and it still said, closed as of Monday, or closed as of January 1st. And then when I went by yesterday, it has the thing. So we'll see what happens to the Madison.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Pine Hills Film Colony is presenting Blackout, which is a British film noir from 1954 with an American actor. And it's the classic, you know, American in London on a bender, gets talked into marrying a woman for money, and then wakes up with a corpse.
Oh, that old tale.
That old tale. Happens all the time.
Blackout. All right.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, a friend of WAMC.
Our buddy. Yeah.
Josh Ritter is going to be doing an acoustic show. There are seats left. There aren't a lot of seats left, but there are seats left.
It is Josh Ritter, the acoustic show, and he's always fantastic, and we love when he's in town, and it'll be a great show.
And then we have my favorite band name of the week, Weekend Friends, or if you pronounce it as it is spelled, Weekend Friends.
Weekend.
They're going to be at the Low Beat in Albany across the street from here on Saturday at 8 o'clock. They're an indie noise rock band from Portland, Maine.
They get more of the latter than the former.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. They're from where, did you say?
Portland, Maine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's not too awful far away.
No, it's not. And then also Saturday at 8 o'clock, our intro music, singer-songwriter Heather Maloney is going to be at Cafe Lena. She comes highly recommended by all the people who like indie Americana stuff. And then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, it's the final concert in this year's de Blasi's Chamber Music Series at the Hyde Collection's Helen Froelich Auditorium. It's GX3 or G times 3. Maria Zimantowski, Ray Andrews, and Sten Isaacson. They're all accomplished string players, and one is flamenco, the next is Appalachian, and the third is Baroque. So it's going to be an exciting sort of blend of musical styles.
GX3 at the Hyde, okay.
And then Monday evening at 8:30 at the Iron Horse Music Hall in Northampton, Mass., it's the great old 90s indie rock jazz band The Sea and Cake. The name is a pun on something that you'd have to be a music nerd to get.
Okay.
I only half get it. So,
all right,
there you go.
The sea and cake.
Yes, and we have three new movies: Life of the Party, Melissa McCarthy, Mom Goes Back to College. It's like Back to School. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Oh, like the old Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Yeah, it's like mom goes back to college. Her daughter's in college at the same time, and
hilarity ensues.
Exactly. Causes her great embarrassment, but also much, you know, bonding and things like that.
Can I ask a question about Melissa McCarthy's career?
Is
she still getting the money that she was getting before? Because she had all those films, and they were doing really well, and then they started not to do well, and then she stopped making them for like a year, and now this one again. So
I don't know. I hope so. I
like her.
The movies didn't slack off. It's just... it's another discussion, but there was Ghostbusters didn't do as well as it was supposed to,
right.
And I think that was the speed bump.
That could be
in everyone's career.
Yeah,
but
because Kate McKinnon should have a film career.
She's got one coming, The Spy Who Dumped Me. I saw the poster for it, so that I haven't seen a trailer for it, but I'm hoping that's funny.
Yeah, well, I hope so, too. So this is called Life of the Party, and it would seem that Melissa McCarthy is always the life of the party, and
exactly.
she'll be bringing hilarity to a megaplex near you.
Then we have the documentary Itzhak, which is about the violinist Itzhak Perlman.
It's a beautiful documentary. Have you seen it?
No,
it's a beautiful documentary. Well, I got a screener a long time ago, but it's a lovely film. He's a neat guy.
He is.
A fascinating background. An incredible musician, and he's really funny too. He's very funny, and the movie comes off as it takes turns, of course, but it's a really interesting look into somebody who's very complex.
Yeah, good. Sounds good to me. And then Breaking In, which is this week's horror thriller. Family goes, you know, to a cabin in the woods for a weekend, and some robbers show up.
Who breaks in?
Yeah, exactly. I think D.W. Griffith filmed it in about 1912.
Now, let me ask you a question, because we have like 2 minutes left, Sean.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question, because this is, I know May is the big start of the Hollywood blockbuster. We had the Avengers
right.
open, and is that one still playing through? But I realized maybe two nights ago when I was going through my Entertainment Weekly summer movie preview edition that I wasn't really excited about anything. Now,
that's funny because I read that the New York Times had their summer movie preview either last Sunday or the Sunday before, and it seemed thin.
Yeah. So is there something that we're excited about? I know there's the Han Solo movie.
That looks like it might be fun.
I will probably go see that. There's a couple of reasons I'd like to go see that. And then what else? I don't know. Oh, another Jurassic Park movie.
There's a Jurassic Park, the Jurassic World, and this one they bring back Jeff Goldblum. They always have to have a reason to bring somebody back.
Yeah.
And
resurrect his career. Let's go.
And, when I went to see Tully, it was like this parade of mostly inappropriate trailers, you know, that didn't really fit with the movie. And like Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's where Marvel sort of loses me. It's like, really? We need Paul Rudd as Ant-Man?
Pointless comedies again.
I don't have anything against him, but, you know, why does he have a career and the star of Clueless doesn't, you know? I mean, I liked her.
Good point.
I mean, that's where they got their start. Why am I not seeing Alicia Silverstone in something? And he's Ant-Man.
Well, I feel the same way about Mark Ruffalo. Like, well, let's find something else for him to do. He's a great actor. Let him do other stuff.
Yeah. There was one thing, not to go too far off track, but I remember watching the end credits to that Marvel Infinity Wars, and I think it starts out with Downey, and then it goes to Chris Hemsworth, and then Ruffalo gets third billing, and I thought, okay, this must have been negotiated too. I mean, it must be making a movie like that must be like negotiating a peace treaty.
Oh, I would imagine.
I mean, just like teams of lawyers and people whispering to each other, and it's exhausting.
Names out of a hat would have been a fine way of doing it. Sean Stone is our buddy. He is our cultural correspondent, and he comes and tells us what's happening on area stages and screens. You can see his entire list at wamc.org. Thank you very much for being here. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thank you.